man was talking to God and he asked God, he says, God, since you made everything, what is money to you? And God answered, well, 1 million rupees to you would be one paisa to me. The man thinks and asks God, since you have been around forever, what is time to you? So God replies, he says, well, my son, 1 second to me would be 1 million years to you. The man thinks some more. He says, this is my good chance to ask God for something that I'd love to ask him for. He says, God, can I have a paisa? God replies, in a second. All right, some of you are still waking up. Okay, John chapter 5, verses 5 to 9. I'll explain the joke later. Don't worry. John chapter 5, verses 5 to 9. We're looking at failure conquered. Sometime later, Jesus went to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now, there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people, everybody said disabled. Disabled people used to lie. The blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition, everybody said this condition, for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? Everybody said, do you want to get well? Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me. Koi nahi hai. There's no one to help me into the pool where the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Then Jesus said some key words to him. He said, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and he walked. There was a moment in time when these waters were stirred that healing, anybody who got into the pool at Bethesda would be miraculously healed. And this lame man had spent 38 years lame and crippled as an invalid by the pool, hoping one day to recover, one day to be healed. For 38 years, he had seen other people walk away healed. He had seen other people who were considered life's failures or failed people come into that pool and walk away successfully, having received their healing. What is it after 38 years that this man has a confrontation with Jesus that changes his life forever? What is it that with you and me, no matter what we have been through, the challenges, the trials, the successes and the failures, and as we're looking at failure and overcoming and conquering failure, when we are in the pit of failure or in a position where we are failing, how can one encounter with Jesus change it so radically? I want to give you some hope and some certainty according to God's word that there are things that we do when we encounter Jesus. And when we respond in faith to what he asks us to do, we overcome any failure in our lives. Abraham Lincoln, Abraham and Sarah in the Old Testament, Jacob and David from the Old Testament, Peter from the New Testament, Steve Jobs, and even Jesus have all experienced failure. Did I just say Jesus? Of course, he was a man. Do not think while he was working with his carpenter, with his father who was a carpenter, where he tried to saw the very first time he didn't nick a finger or two and go, Mommy, I cut my finger. Do you think he did not do that? Do you think he didn't miss the nail and hit his thumb? He failed to strike the nail instead and hit his thumb. Do you not think that Jesus in some way attempted to build an amazing structure and failed at doing it? He was human, even though he was fully God. He never sinned, but that doesn't mean to say he may not have failed. You with me? In achieving, trying to do something. I may demystify Jesus for you. He grew up like every one of us. So what is failure? It's a lack of success. It's a failing maybe in business, a falling short, a deficiency of some sort. So why do people fail and struggle to succeed in life? Let's dispel two Christian myths that hang around the church. The first one is this. If you had trusted God, only if you trusted God, yeah. I'm telling you, translated, you failed because you did not trust God. We need to learn to accept failure as part of our Christian walk with Jesus. It is okay to fail. Turn on to your neighbor and say, I will fail. That is not a faithless statement, that is a realistic statement. You will fail at something, but that does not make you a failure. Tell your neighbor that you might fail at something, but that does not make you a failure. Henry Ford, whose cars many of us drive, failure is simply the opportunity to begin again, this time more intelligently. The second myth I need to dispel before I talk about conquering failure is this. Just wait on God, yeah. Just wait, I'm telling you. God will come through for you. Don't do anything at all. Sit back. Just pray. Translated? You know how it's translated. You don't have to do anything. Lazy people never succeed. Say that to your neighbor. Lazy people never succeed. Proverbs 6:6-8. Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores up its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. Nothing in this world is really free. Everybody say that. Nothing in this world is free. Somebody somewhere has paid the price for what you enjoy. Jesus paid the price for our salvation, so we enjoy it for free. But He paid the price. Your parents have paid the price for you to live a comfortable life right now, because they worked their days off so you could enjoy life today. It's the French word. It's totally acceptable in church. In order to succeed, your desire for success should be greater than the fear of failure. Bing Crosby said this. Understand this. You were never designed to be a failure. Tell your neighbor, you were never designed to be a failure. It is ultimately always in God's own interest that you and I succeed. Because God likes to show us off. He wants to show off His glory and His splendor. And when we come through the ashes, when we come through the failed situations and circumstances of life, when people have considered us to be absolute and utter failures, nothing good will come out of you. What can happen to you? You have always been like this. 38 years, that lame man had always been an invalid. 38 years. 38 years, he meets Jesus and everything changes. When we encounter Jesus, no matter what the state of our situation is, He can change it and give us success. Isn't that good? Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Jesus to do good works." I don't see the word failure here. We were not created to be failures. We were created in Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You with me? He has already determined and predestined what our journey in life can be. But we have got to make the right choices. Everybody say right choices. That lame man made the right choice that day. 38 years, he'd waited for somebody else to push him into the water. Given he could not move, given that he spent 38 years living by the brink of that water, and whenever the water stirred, he'd hoped he'd walk in, tumble in, and he'd come out well. He saw others doing that, but it was never his portion. He had never encountered that kind of a miracle because there was something that he did not do. But when Jesus was there, Jesus said two words to him. And the first point in overcoming and conquering failure is you need to get up. Everybody say, get up. I don't care how severe bad the situation has been. All of heaven is behind you when you get up. As long as that man was lying down, even Jesus could do nothing for him.
But when Jesus said, get up, when he got up. I remember I was running a race at in school. Amy Joy was about, I think, seven years old. It was the final race, the father's race. The moms had run, and I was going to run this father's race. And in my mind, I was a school champion, although I was 30-something. In my mind, I was the school champion. I had many medals. I had come first in all of my 100-meter races. Here was another opportunity to show off in front of the whole school, all the moms, all the dads, and my kids, how much of a sprinter I was. So I selected my group of men. I looked for the fattest, plumpest lot, and I said, I'm going to run with them because I like to win. And so it was the last race of the day. On your mark, set, go. 4 feet into the race, I tumbled and stumbled and rolled and fell. And I saw the school, I saw the moms, I saw my kids go, Dad, not my dad. I don't know who this guy is. But the other fathers were way ahead of me. But I got up and I finished that race. You know what I mean? God, was I embarrassed? Was my whole picture of my success as a sprinter was nothing? But I chose to get up and finish the race. In life, whatever we have begun, wherever we are, we must learn to get up. Jack Dempsey, former world heavyweight boxing champion, said, a champion is one who gets up when he can't. I like that. The second thing is to get out. Everybody say, get out. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. God calls Abraham. He speaks to Abraham. Abraham's in a very comfortable position in his father's home. He's a wealthy man. He has everything he needs. He is probably one of the wealthiest people at that time. And the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country. I mean, irrational thinking. But God said it, get out. The place which was once your place of provision can easily become your prison. There are times you must have the courage and the discernment from God when it is right to get out. The third thing you must learn to do is to get going. Everybody say, get going. Genesis chapter 43 and 8. Here we see Judah is talking to his father Israel, Abraham's son. He says, listen, let the boy go. I'll take charge of him. They need to go back to Egypt to meet with Joseph. Let us go and be on our way. If we don't get going, we are all going to starve to death. There are times when God asks us to get up and to get out. We must also be willing to get going. You know what I mean? In other words, we must have some momentum in our life to overcome failure. We cannot just stay stagnant and say, but God, you told me to get up, so I got up. Then you told me to come out, so I came out. Now I'm standing out, I'm enjoying the breeze. But we've got to build the momentum. Everybody say momentum. There is faith requires action. Faith that is not active is passive faith. And the faith that gets us out of our difficult situations, the faith that takes us from a failed position to one of success, is where there is momentum. You have got to keep the momentum. And because these brothers said to their father, listen, we've got to get going to Egypt, because if we don't go there, we will not have food for the next 7 years. That whole entire nation and family survived because they got going. How many of us have done the first two but said, it's too hard, yeah. It's too far. It's too long. It's too hot. It's too cold. My God, I remember the early days of our lives in London. We would work long hours. We were 21, 22. We had no parents. We had no money in our bank account. In fact, I don't think we even had a bank account there. We just had no money. We were surviving week by week. We had to work. We knew God had purposed us. We knew God had called us. But we also knew in all of that there was something we had to do, and we had to get going. When we had to look for jobs, we had to go knocking on doors. Will you employ foreigners in a foreign land? No experience, youngsters. But when you get going, when you knock on that door, God opens it up for you. You know, I started off cleaning people's laundry, putting their laundry in the washer, taking it out, putting it in the dryer. That's after a full day's work because we needed to get going. We need to keep the momentum of our income so as we would not starve. Lazy people never succeed. And if we are going to be successful in life, we will never overcome and conquer failure if ever we get into a place of laziness. We've got to get out. Success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts, said Winston Churchill. The greatest obstacle to overcoming failure is the fear of failing. Conquer that and you will succeed. Otherwise, you will succeed in always failing to succeed. Is that too complex? And so you've got to be willing to move your derriere wherever it needs to go. You need to be willing to do whatever it takes to do whatever you need to do to achieve what you know you can. As long as that man sat with his bottom by the pool, he never experienced the healing and his life never changed. I know I was in a wheelchair for 4 years, struggled. It was every depressing, irritating, frustrating, but we never gave up on life. You need the support of your family. I could not have come out of that failed season of my life without the support of my family, the grace of God, medication, and sheer determination that I will not stay here forever. Sheer determination that I had to get up at some time. I had to get going. You ask my wife, she had to stop me from get going because I wanted to not give in to my illness. When we give in to our incapacities, they immobilize us. I was sick. I could not walk. I couldn't feel the ground. It was painful. But I never gave in. I kept the momentum. The fourth thing you need to do is to get ruthless. To conquer failure, you've got to get ruthless. Everybody say, get ruthless. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 19. But one thing I do, Paul says, forgetting what is behind me and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. There's a reward of success for every one of us in this life and in the life after. But even in this life, why should we have hell on earth when we can have heaven while we wait right here? But one thing you must do is you've got to get ruthless. Cut off those things that are hindering you from moving forward. Too many of us want to carry all our baggage and step out and get going. You can't. You've got to be willing to let go sometimes. You've got to be willing to let go of some hurt. You've got to be willing to let go of some relationships. You've got to be willing to let go of something, some habit, some addiction, something that is hindering you from succeeding, that is hindering you from having a happy family life, hindering you from being successful and making you feel like a failure. What's the key phrase here? Is that you might fail, but you are never a... I don't care how many times you fail. We will be here to make sure you succeed. We will cheer you on. When you're down, we'll help. We'll say, get up. When you get up, we'll stand around you to make sure you can keep standing. We'll create critical parts so each one of us can succeed into what God has called us. That is what the body of Christ is. That is what we need to be doing for one another. It is so easy for us to criticize and pull down A and C and B and D. The world does it. We don't need it from the church. The church needs to be a place of life. Church needs to be a place where people can be crippled as crippled they can ever be. But if they walk in here, there's going to be statements of faith that will be spoken over their lives. Words of encouragement. Actions of blessing that will encourage them to keep going no matter what is happening. But we've got to be ruthless. You cannot entertain those things that will not sustain you for the future. In a plane's journey, if it needs to redirect and has to land because of a crisis, the first thing it has to do is this: empty its fuel tanks. Because it cannot land with excess fuel. So they will waste that fuel so that they can land the plane safely. So also in our life, some God, I've had so many years. It's been with me. It's helped me every time. God, that plane needs fuel. But if it lands with all that fuel, that weight will blow the plane up. And so we try to get momentum with all the garbage of our life. And we go flap, 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 only to crash again. Because all the weight and the garbage of our life is still hanging on. Things that we hold on to. that we hold so dear, we can get what God has, which is much, much greater than what we're holding on to. We have to understand this. We have to understand this. Because what we hold on to is what we see. What we're going to get from God is what we do not yet see. Faith is the substance of things for, the evidence of things not yet seen. But I can see this, so I hold on to it. But I won't let go because I'm not certain. It's because I don't trust God. But if I trust God, I can let go and I can have what God has for me. Whatever it is, it may be an addiction, it may be some habit, it may be some challenge, maybe the place of work that you're in that God's challenging you to think beyond the box. Whatever it is, know what it is and be ruthless and be willing to move out and step out so that you can take what God has for you and overcome. The fifth thing is get shouting. Everybody say get shouting. Joshua chapter 6 verse 15. They were commanded to bring down a wall simply by blowing some trumpets. And on the seventh day, they were to shout. And this is them on the seventh day, the seventh time round. When the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, shout. He didn't just say shout. He said shout, for the Lord has given you the city. He wasn't say shout, now God will give you the city. So if I shout, he'll give me the city. No. Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. You're not shouting because of what you're going to get. You're shouting because of what you already have. Now, isn't it good when you have nothing, but you know you have it, you can say, hey, I've got it. I had failure. It was part of my life. I sat on my derriere for years, but hey, I'm out. I've got momentum. I'm going. I'm ruthless. I'm getting there. Shout about it. A mom who's pregnant, she doesn't wait for the baby to come and then says, oh, I'm so happy I have a baby. The moment she knows she's pregnant, she's, tell everybody. Just in case what? Just in case what? The moment we were pregnant, hey everybody, we're expecting a baby. Where? It's coming in 9 months' time. Shout about it. Hey everybody, this church is going to grow. I'm certain people are going to walk in here. We're going to connect with people. You're going to connect. This church is going to grow. We're shouting about it. This is not our portion. We're going to grow. We're going to help people. We're going to serve people. We're going to serve this community. Serve communities across the city, across the nation. Isn't that good? Got to get shouting. The sixth thing, we got to get with God. James chapter 4, verse 7 to 9. Listen to this. It's so beautiful. It's from the Message Bible. It says, so let God work his will in you. Yell aloud and roar to the devil and watch him scamper. Say a quiet yes to God, and he'll be there in no time. Quit dabbling in sin. Purify your inner life. Quit playing the field for all you single folk out there. Hit bottom and cry your eyes out. The fun and games are over. Get serious. Get really serious. When we get with God, when we get serious with God, when that layman responded to what Jesus asked him to, when he got serious with God, God enabled him to break free from his sickness. Failure was written all over him. You see, failure does amazing things to us. It doesn't just make us feel small. It makes us feel like nothing. Nada. Tum to kuch bhi nahi hai. Failure makes you feel rotten on the inside. How many of you, when you fail, like to turn and say, oh, I failed. I'm so glad I failed. We should never be ashamed of our failings. We need to just be open. You know what? I tried, but I failed miserably. I really did badly. But you know what? I learned that if I do it like this again, I'll fail again. So when it comes around again, I'm not going to do it like this. We must learn from our failings. When we get with God, we develop a sense of intimacy. We understand what God's purpose and plan is for our lives. And we're able to connect with him in a way that we can never can. It's not just about doing the right things, but ultimately our success is closely interwoven with our relationship with God. Because the Bible said it is God who gives us success. James 4:10. And the seventh thing we need to do is to get on our knees. James 4:10 says, get down on your knees before the master. It's the only way you get on your feet. I love this translation. Get on your knees before the master. It's the only way you get on your feet. With me? And so, how do we overcome and conquer failure? How do we live a life where failure is conquered in our lives? Firstly, what have we got to do? We've got to get up. Everybody say, get up. Get going. Get ruthless. Got to be ruthless. Get with God. Get on your knees. Those things are so important. Okay? One of the things you got to do is remember as well is to get shouting. Never be afraid to shout about what is to come. So what are you taking away today as I bring this to a close? Listen, your failure is in your hands. Your success is in your hands. You were never designed for failure. Because if we were, God's made a big mistake. We were created, fashioned, shaped, and formed in the image of God. So if we were shaped and fashioned in His image, then we were destined to succeed in life. I had a friend of mine who was in Bible school with me. His dream was that he would be like Billy Graham. And boy, I loved his dream. I encouraged him. His dream for me was I would never be as good as him. Great friends, but there was a little bit of competition. He said, you're just going to be a worship leader. I'm just going to lead worship. I was starting off. And I remember one day coming home on the train from Bible school, and I was to preach the next day as part of our training. And he said, Ian, you're a great worship leader, but I don't know about preaching. And he was a great orator. Today I don't know where he is, but I know where I am. Because I never allowed those words, though it was from a very close friend and probably said with the best of intentions, I never allowed that to hinder me from moving forward. Yes, the first time I preached, everything was beating. My toes, my knees, my fingers, my heart, everything was beating. But I was going to face that fear. I was going to overcome it. Because God knew I would need to. Because I would need to speak again and again and again and again. You with me? There are things in our life, things that people will say that can lock us in. But we've got to face those issues, overcome them, so as we can succeed. What is your situation right now? What are the challenges or the issues that you feel like you have failed at? Can you apply these simple things that I've told you today and come through? God designed you for success. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you have called us to live this life with all its challenges and the many times that each of us may have failed at something, then none of us are failures in life. Thank you that you have given us the ability to overcome and to conquer every bit of failure in our lives. Lord, I pray over the lives of our people today that each of us will see the hope that you have for us, the good works that you have created for us to do in advance to be successful and to succeed. Jesus, we ask you for your enabling power. Holy Spirit, I ask you to come and to help each one of us today to hear your words spoken to us. We wait for someone to choose you. We wait for someone to stay. But the only love that you're used to is the kind that goes away. You're thinking maybe your daddy was right when he said you're just a mistake. But I was holding your heart when those cold words made